about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And what's the problem?
I'm too high.
You're too high?
Yeah.
What'd you take?
Weed.
Weed?
Yes.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like. Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
What's the... how come?
What did you do?
You also, reportedly like your weed.
But, no! Yes!
And now...
Yeah, I don't smoke the weed, but I still like to know where it's at.
Our feature presentation.
Just in case there's an emergency?
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 20th of April, 4:20.
Oh, that's
right?
Why.
Yeah.
Oh, makes
all
sense.
The weed stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
I want to start today with a story about tennis.
Don't you want to ask how we're doing? Like, get to know each other?
I always
segment?
Feel like that goes poorly.
Yeah, it does. But...
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey, doing great, Kevin. How about you? How was your drive-in?
Well, I had a complete steering failure. If that's what you're talking about.
I mean, do you need to steer your car? Is
there
that
about,
imperative?
There are about, I don't know, 5 or 6 yellow lights that were flashing
right.
on my dashboard.
Yeah.
And the steering went completely out and I was wrestling it. Like I had to hold it with both hands because I was making a U-turn.
Yeah.
And I had to hold it with both hands and do everything I could just to get the car to turn. And I was going 1 mile per hour.
Oh, my God.
And then I got up to the light and then I tried to turn. And getting into the parking
yeah.
lot was almost impossible. And then parking, I don't know how I parked out there. But
oh, my God.
I don't have any idea why that happens.
There
were no warnings ahead
of time. I think it's your
time.
Power steering.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not a mechanic.
Right.
But I think it might be your power steering.
Right. It went out.
Oh,
but
sure.
I've driven cars when mm-hmm. I was younger that didn't have power steering. And you can turn the wheel. It's not
yeah.
a
big, yeah. This
this
seems,
is active.
This seems bigger.
This was like actively F you. You want to turn this car. It was more like the car going.
Was that one of the flashing signs?
It was more the car going, I'm not going to allow you to do this.
Yeah.
And that's odd. I've never experienced that
yeah.
before. It's not just a failure of the power steering. It's literally...
It's like locking up completely.
Almost.
Yeah.
Just short of that. So pretty impossible.
So should be a good drive home.
Honestly, probably tow truck.
Yeah. You're not making it out of the parking spot.
No. I mean, I'm not even going to try. Because it was really scary.
When
you can't turn the car.
Don't be a baby.
Okay.
Oh, Chip.
So I should go for it?
Yeah.
All right. Chip always gives me the best advice.
Yeah, it sounds it.
And I appreciate
well, see,
that.
Well, see, we're all caught up now. What's your story of the day, Kevin? That was delightful.
Do we have time for the story of the day?
Yes!
All right. I don't watch tennis.
Okay.
I'm not a tennis buff. But there was a professional match going on in Sarasota, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were playing tennis, in the middle of the match... You could hear what sounded like people having sex very, very loudly.
Oh, no.
Like she was yelling.
Oh, no.
Loudly. And this is some of the audio from that match when the announcer is trying to put together exactly what's happening in this tennis match. Back and forth, back and forth.
Once again.
Law 15.
Kruger. Has steel phone in a deficit situation.
All right, listen right here.
Well, that is the most bizarre situation. I don't know how to put this, folks, but somebody's phone going off in the stands.
Because they all hear it.
Right. And now they're clapping. Is she done, maybe?
And it was an adult video.
So was it like a ringtone on a phone, or was it really people having sex?
You'll find out.
Okay.
15 on.
That is an all-timer.
That is an old timer.
Sure is.
I mean, it really, in the world of tennis,
yeah,
that's
oh,
the
yeah.
most
that's
exciting.
That's the most
thing.
Exciting.
Right, exactly.
I don't know how well you could pick that up at home.
We could hear it. He's still thinking about it.
30, 15.
That's all he'll ever think about. Wait, is it happening again?
Yes. I still hear it. It's still going.
It's still going. I still hear it. It's still going.
I'm thinking it's not a phone.
All right, now, the players can hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, so can everybody in the stands.
Sure.
So the announcer's trying to make sense of it, and the players are sort of looking around like, why is this happening? And one of the players shouts out at the top of his lungs, you'll hear it. The announcer starts talking, and then he gets interrupted. It's one of the guys playing in the match.
No.
Yelling at what's happening.
What is going on?
It can't be that good!
It can't be that good! It can't be that good! And everybody just goes crazy. That's pretty funny,
that's
right?
That's amazing!
It can't be that good! Everybody's laughing.
No, that's not a phone.
All right, now he's starting. Now he's starting to realize that it's not a phone.
Oh,
and
good.
Perhaps it's people having sex during the tennis tournament.
That is. That's an apartment across the lake.
No, sir.
Now, I don't know how big the lake is.
I think voices carry over water.
Right.
But my God.
It's not an apartment next to the tennis complex. Across a lake.
I thought they were in the stand somewhere doing it.
No. He says that it's coming from an apartment across a lake. How much noise is she making?
Well,
I agree with the tennis player.
I'd like to meet whoever she's with.
It can't be that good.
That's an apartment across the lake. Oh, my God.
40-15.
He's disgusted.
And the tennis keeps going on, but he's just fascinated by the fact that they can hear someone
having
sex.
He's a changed man.
Right.
Well, everybody was looking around to see where that was coming from and finally figure out that wasn't a video.
They move at a slow pace in tennis, don't they? Really? Even the announcers. Sort of like golf announcing where they just... talk softly and slowly.
Well, at least somebody's having a good night. Again, a very tight call.
At least somebody's having a good night. So that happened.
Poor guy.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
That was that guy's. I mean, how dull is tennis?
That's true. That will be the highlight of his career for sure.
Right. Like 10 years from now, he'll be going. You remember when?
That's amazing.
That's not a video.
Whoever that player is that yelled, it can't be that good.
It can't be that good.
Is a hero. That's the best.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
Oh, I forgot about that from Carol. She's the best from Walking Dead.
Didn't she then shoot her kid?
I mean, she's killed people. There's been some death.
Was one her kid and she told him to look at the flowers?
Was it her?
No, that wasn't her kid.
Oh, okay. It's fine.
Was just a kid.
Okay.
Right. We have Tim McElrath on the program today talking about New Rise Against. Very excited about that.
Yeah.
Very few rock bands anymore. Very few.
Yeah, it's awful.
Comedian Aisha Tyler.
So excited.
Will be joining us in studio. We have Jim Rome talking sports like
Excellent.
We do. Congratulations, Chip.
Thank you, Kevin.
Ducks swept.
Yeah, they did.
How about that? First team to go into the second round. And also Dr. Drew will be on the program as well, and we'll be talking to him about 420.
He loves weed.
He loves weed.
Yeah.
And that hardcore addict.
Huge.
Can't stop.
Oh, we need to get him help.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to do a little bit later on. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 6 o'clock. Ralph Garman is here now with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Whether you're trying to rebuild our country or win a Super Bowl, there are no days off.
Did he didn't say that.
That's did he say that?
No.
Our president said yesterday when he met like two of the Patriots who showed up. The guy's been on a golf course more than he's been in the Oval Office.
He did. No.
He said those words.
Ralph, you wanted him to say those
words. I'm Donald
words.
Trump, and I approve this message.
Here's what I would say, though, and not to take Donald Trump's side, God forbid, but I would assume that they do business while golfing. No? You don't think they invite certain people and talk business while they're golfing? You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm asking you a question.
Have you seen the footage of him out there on the golf course? He's not meeting with the president of China.
No, I don't think the president or something. I don't think. I'm just saying. No, there's no business discussed ever. I thought that about Obama too. Let the guy golf. He's probably doing business.
You're the best.
Am I the only one?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
I bet more and better business gets done at the White House.
That shows what you know about politics.
That's true. That's why Kevin will be our next president.
Thank you. That'd be a good one too.
Yeah. President Trump also compared the comeback against the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl to his,
oh, of course,
being down in the polls to Hillary Clinton last November, and he came back and won the presidential election just like they won the Super Bowl and the greatest comeback of all time. So I made it all about him. It was interesting.
Correct
to
me
watch
if I'm
yesterday.
Wrong.
Yes, I will.
I saw reports that he never mentioned Tom Brady's name once.
No.
Well, Tom Brady wasn't there.
He was
Tom
not
Brady
on hand
yesterday. He was so butthurt.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a little chapped, I think, that Tom had a family commitment and could not attend.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there was like one of those inauguration photo moments where they were showing pictures from the last time the team was there to when they were there this time, and how many people are on the steps then versus how many people are on the steps this time. And then the Patriots had to come out and say, well, that photo doesn't represent us because there was some coaching staff that was on the steps last time that wasn't there this time. And it's like, wow, man, this is what it's about now.
Yeah. Here's the thing too, Patriots. Why do you have to respond to that? No other team would.
Well, Robert Kraft, the
that's
owner
the only reason
of the
they
team,
did it.
Is close friends with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. It's hard to defend you guys a lot of times. It's really hard.
You do put yourself in that position often.
I hate it, though. I hate it.
Bill O'Reilly, while we're talking about folks who lean right, He's got an extended vacation.
Ah. So what happened?
Fox News has announced, after a thorough and careful review of the allegations, the company and Bill O'Reilly have agreed that Bill O'Reilly will not be returning to the Fox News channel. This regarding the allegations of sexual misconduct and harassment from the talk show host, with five women having to pay out the amount of $13 million. Advertisers left the show, and the women's rights groups called for him to resign or for Fox News to fire him, and it looks like that's what they're going to do. So they're going to work something out, but he will not be back.
Can I tell you a weird story about him?
Sure.
In Miami.
We'll do it live!
I was in Miami for a Super Bowl, and it was about 4 a.m., and we were in a bar where they're having a great party. Mm-hmm. In walks Bill O'Reilly. I was like, what is he doing?
Do it live.
At a party at 4 a.m. in Miami. Nice. Like, isn't that one of the last people you'd expect to walk through the door?
Were there women there?
A lot.
Well, then, I guess that's why you showed up. Turns out, how did we know?
I'm just really sad for who my parents will watch with the volume turned up to like 30 now. I'm very concerned. Who are they going to watch?
Tucker Carlson will take over for the time being. And then, I don't know. Maybe that Tammy.
They've got to
Tammy
get her.
Lauren.
It's insane if Fox News does not pick her up for some slot over at Fox.
They're not really her type, though.
She can tone it down. She could tone down the
blonde, the whole blonde, good looking,
blonde, pretty. Yeah, wears little dresses.
Really not her. That's not the Fox thing. It's
you're
not
right.
The Fox way.
It's Bill's way.
Do it live. We're gonna play that in some of it.
Yes, we will.
Sometime later today. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday. It's George Takei. Oh, my. He's 80 years old today.
Wow.
Tana Sulo's 80 years old.
Wow.
I would not have thought even 70.
Have either. Nope. Jessica Lange is 68. Oh, so good on Feud. You guys aren't watching Feud.
Not
right?
Watching Feud, no.
Susan Sarandon still on it?
Yes, Allie. Susan Sarandon's still on it.
Okay. Hard pass.
Andy Serkis is 53 years old today. Crispin Glover, also 53. Shamar Moore. Yeah. He's handsome, that fella. He's 47 years old today. You all right, Allie?
You ain't kidding.
Carmen Electra's 45. Joey Lawrence. Whoa. 41 years old today. He was Blossom's brother, wasn't he?
Or best friend?
I don't remember.
Brother? Which one was it?
I mean, it's Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lawrence.
Was it Blossom even?
I don't know.
I'm so confused.
He was on television. Wasn't he?
Was it Blossom?
Anyone in the other room? Anyone listening?
Do you have the internet there? Or
yeah, can you punch it up on your computer?
I just, I thought
you know
maybe.
You have that big computer in front of your face?
Yeah, hold on.
Punch up Joey Lawrence and see where we know him from.
Lauren.
I think it was on Blossom that he played her brother. Her older brother.
Blossom.
We have confirmation on Blossom.
He was a little boy on Give Me a Break.
Yeah, but
mostly
Blossom.
Melissa and Joey. Let me look up. How's everybody doing at home? Good.
How's your steering, Kevin?
There's really something wrong with it.
like this show.
How about if
Blossom Russo and Joey Russo? They had to be at least cousins.
Yeah, the worst.
Like you're Allie working her way through this story.
Model Miranda Kerr celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman, and I'm sorry I brought it up.
I don't think I like what's happening right now.
Mugs, good joy.
Mugs just said, Allie, I have a pipe in my car.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
KG, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having us.
We are here to talk about Cannabis Cup, which is this weekend.
First of all, happy 420, everybody.
Right? Thank you, dear Mug.
Happy 420.
Who's happier than Mugs?
Nobody.
All right, stop clapping.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It's happening. The High Times Cannabis Cup is happening this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And there's some great music at this festival. And KG, what do you do and what's your interaction with this?
Yeah, well, what we do is we're New Frontier. Mm-hmm. We're actually launching a new beer.
You're launching a new beer?
A cannabis beer. There's actually no alcohol in the beer whatsoever. It's only THC. And what's really unique about the beer is it's really fast acting.
Right.
There's not going to be any downtime at all. It's going to get right into your bloodstream, and it's going to get you nice and medicated for 420.
Does it taste like beer?
I have never tasted it. That's the greatest
Hold
part
on.
About
this.
No, no, this is the greatest part about this. Is that... my buddy Beer Mug, we actually uh-huh. talked about coming on the air, and I told him if I ever come on the air, I want to do it with a beer, and I want to cheers you.
That's fine.
I'm honored.
That's fine, but if
you distribute the beer, correct?
Yeah, we're launching it right now.
Okay,
this is a brand new product.
You've never even tasted it to say this is going to work?
What if it's ass?
What if it tastes like ass?
Boss man told me, you know what, go on the air and make us proud. So, you know, I'm doing it. I'm doing it right now. I'm trying it for the first time.
So how much THC is in one beer?
25 milligrams in this 24-ounce right here.
That seems like a lot.
It gets into your bloodstream really fast.
Yeah. Right.
So it's going to be like a more fast acting.
Right.
It's fairly a lot. I mean, it just kind of depends on how you medicate. If you medicate every single day,
it probably won't.
It's not that big a deal, right?
Okay.
He'll need about 10 of them to feel anything, but you know. That's the way Mugs rolls.
So the general public has not tried this yet.
And it's this is fresh. We come to you first.
The guy that hasn't tried it.
Wow. No, we come to you first because you guys are the leaders.
Love it.
Right? I mean, are you guys world famous? For a reason, right?
We say that.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You know, we're bringing
like
it to the world. We're bringing it to the world.
If you say it enough.
Yeah, it is true.
That's our
theory.
Mugs,
why don't you help him by opening? Because we need him actually on the mic. So you do it, Mugs.
Yeah, while you guys are doing that, let me talk about some of the music. That's going to be out this weekend. It is ASAP Ferg. Method Man is going to be out there. Damian Marley is going to be playing.
Well, you need at least one Marley at an event like
Chief
this.
Chief Keef, The Game, Nas.
What?
Lit, Wu-Tang.
Come on.
Yes, all this weekend. Isn't that crazy?
Stoners come correct now.
I'm saying. And then it's all different like setups where you can go up and try different things, different edibles, that type of thing.
So we already have 500 booths that have already pre-registered.
Whoa.
So this is going to be a full-on party. You know, hightimes.com, you can get tickets. It's going to be a festivity. We have a whole entire beer garden that's going to be set up in the Soul Village. So you're going to see all these different brands. It's going to be interactive. You're going to have art. You're going to have, you know.
How has the vote last fall changed? this. Like, now everybody's in, and you can't grow it until the beginning of next year, but you can sell it? Do you know?
That's kind of like a legal, you know, a legal question.
I figured you would know that.
Yeah. I do know to a sense. Far as Proposition 64, you can actually have it with you.
Okay,
you can possess it, things of that nature. As far as going into a store, you know, you still have your recommendation. You still, you know,
need
go to
a
normal.
Right.
Yeah, you go to a normal Prop D, you know, compliant.
But then location. In 2018, it's legal to grow. I think there's some weird thing where you can't really grow it yet, but you can have it.
Yeah, well, once Proposition 64 goes through, it's going to be distributed much like Washington is, where it's more, you know, prevalent. It's in more areas. Of course, you know, the product probably isn't going to be as strong. So
right.
You're still going to probably want to go back to the, you know, the whole medicated and the whole proposition and getting your recommendation, because that's going to give you...
That's going to be the best stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be the stuff that really, you know, is tested, that you can say is, you know, 30% THC. Kind of what you're shooting
for. All right. High Times Cannabis Cup is this weekend, Friday to Sunday, at the National Orange Show in San Bernardino. The tickets are only $55, and they are available at cannabiscup.com/SoCal. Mugs, pop a cup.
Oh, my God.
Why don't you open that?
I mean, you're taking a really long time to open it, Mugs.
There it is.
Come on.
Is that happening?
Here we go.
It smells like beer.
Less smelling, more sipping.
It definitely does smell like beer.
Right.
It pours like beer. Yeah, it pours like beer, definitely. Pours like beer.
Well,
okay, good.
Since it's
because it's beer.
Will they cut me off at the beer garden?
No, you actually have a VIP pass with a wristband.
Look at that.
It's unlimited beers for beer mug.
This is concerning.
Right, here we go.
Are
KG?
We snapping this? Are Happy we snapping this, guy?
Yeah.
I love you, buddy.
Happy 420. It's a new frontier. Eureka Golden Ale. Here we go.
Nanotechnology.
There it is. I don't even know what that means.
That's how they put the THC in the beer, mugs.
All right.
That is a damn good beer.
See, now you have to say that.
No, Kevin, hold on. Kevin, taste this.
Here.
Kevin's tasting it, everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a swig.
And you know what?
Right, Kevin?
That's a pretty good beer.
All right. Oh,
if you would have handed this to me.
Come on, Chip.
It's a third sip.
No, Chip.
We're sharing. Sharing's caring.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's sharing's caring.
That's good.
Right?
Allie.
All right, a sip. Good.
That's a pretty good beer.
The consensus is... Dun, 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 dun.
The consensus is not ass. All right.
Awesome.
That's pretty strong.
Awesome.
We appreciate it. It's Eureka Golden Ale from New Frontier. It is going to be this weekend at the High Times Cannabis Cup. And again, it's at the National Orange Show in San Bernardino. You can buy tickets at cannabiscup.com/SoCal. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for the beer.
Happy 420 to all of the stoners in the land.
Thank you for the gift bag.
Thank you for the gift bag.
Yeah.
Emphasis on bag.
And tell people what you got Dr. Drew in his gift bag.
Yeah, what's
here it is. Drew got the Virgin model.
Okay, so no weed in that one.
No, he got a Hershey bar, he got a Reese's Pieces,
yeah,
and he got one of those little, you know, cigars. It might be a boy or girl.
Okay.
Too bad it's gum.
See, the thing about that is it's all going to be gone because Muggs is drinking beer with THC in it.
Yep. I love this.
That's never going to get to Muggs.
Delicious.
KG, we appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much. You bet. About a half hour from now, we're going to talk to Tim from Rise Against and world premiere a new song from Rise Against.
Huge. Have you heard it?
I have.
Good.
It's great.
It's rock.
Yeah, it's rock.
Was it weird when you heard instruments? You're like, what's happening?
That's a guitar. It was really bizarre. I don't know if you've ever had this problem with your neighbors. My neighbors were not very nice to us.
Okay.
And when my kids would kick soccer balls into their yard, I would just jump the fence and go get them without asking.
Oh.
And then at some point, I told my kids, yeah, just jump the fence. Just don't get caught. And it was fine. It worked out that way. Nothing ever happened. But this particular, there's a grandma in England.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, she's 73 years old. Her name is Penny Freeman. And apparently, the neighbors are kicking kickballs into her yard, and they're landing in her garden.
Yeah, breaking pots, everything.
So it makes her very angry, and she keeps the balls. She puts them in a shed. She's got like 10 of them.
Okay.
So the neighbors, instead of going over and asking for the balls back, at least it doesn't say in the article that they did, called the police, and the police came out and visited the 73-year-old woman.
Well, that's a good use of resources.
And said, hey, how about giving back those balls? How about that? So we have one of the policemen, PC Nigel Forsyth, on the phone. Good morning, Nigel.
Good morning.
Were you called to this domestic dispute, this problem between neighbors?
Indeed we were.
Mm-hmm.
We were notified that the woman in question, 73-year-old Penny Freeman, on Vernon Road in Bridlington, was having a dispute with her neighbour regarding some footballs that were kicked over the adjoining wall that the two properties share by the children next door. And she was in possession of said footballs and was not returning them.
And was she not returning them? Like, she's hoarding them? Were they asking for them back and she wasn't giving them?
Well, the children next door, as well as the neighbours, the parents themselves, have said that they were intimidated by the woman.
They were scared of her, weren't they?
They were afraid of her and did not feel comfortable confronting the woman regarding getting the balls back. Previous encounters, apparently they did request that she simply throw them back over the wall.
Right.
But she refused to do so. In her words, according to reports, she wanted to teach the children that consequences come from actions.
Hmm. Now, do you think this is a good use of your time?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
The community support group here in Humberside, we feel that we are, one of our many duties is to mediate in matters of this nature. And we are always keen to offer practical advice and solutions to prevent situations like these from escalating any further.
Okay. Did you specifically talk to Penny?
No, but I'm about to right now.
While we're on the phone, live.
I was talking to your producer this morning.
Okay.
And I was actually on my way to have a conversation with Ms. Freeman when you called me here in my police car.
Okay.
I'm actually about to talk to Ms. Freeman. So as it happens live, I guess you're gonna actually hear it.
Okay.
That's exciting.
Wow, this is good. Okay.
I think a great example of police work here in Humberside, and you can hear it for yourself.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, Ms. Freeman. Ms. Freeman, open the door, please.
But, hello?
Hello?
Hi, Nigel, what happened?
I hit her with my nightstick.
What?
I hit her with my nightstick.
That's how you resolve this?
Well, she won't get the balls back, will she?
But you didn't say anything to her.
Give me the balls back.
Maybe leave with
the balls back, you old crone.
You don't have to.
You old biddy, give them back to
the football. Oh,
you
won't
get here. Here, my big. Here's the sucker. How about this little sucker kick, you old biddy? Just give the children back to the balls. Why are you so mean to kids?
You said...
No one loves old ladies like you. I grew up next to a lady like you, and you never gave the balls back.
Oh, I see where this is coming from now.
She seems to have stopped breathing.
Is that... Maybe you need to make a call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LANOC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Have you seen Gwen's new bangs? Everybody's talking about it.
Not
she's got
seen
a new look, Kevin. Gwen Stefani has bangs.
I haven't seen the bangs.
Well, God damn it, Kevin. Get up to
get
speed.
Get on it? Okay. All
Jesus.
Right. Brand new music from Rise Against coming up just at the top of the hour. Now we're going to talk to Tim McElrath on the air about the new song. Very excited about
that. On the air.
Yes.
Oh, good. I was afraid we were going to have a little conversation with him in the hallway.
New song, new album, playing Los Angeles. Very excited about all of that. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Everybody high? You guys all high with your highness? From all that high beer you were drinking, all that pot beer.
I mean, I'm less high than you're saying.
You're so high.
She's less high than you're saying, but
look
more
at my hand.
It's
ooh,
not acid.
It's coming at you.
It's just
THC. You feel closed in. You feel boxed in.
What's happening?
Are you high? You're so high now.
I'm going to get high tonight.
Yeah. Right?
Very high tonight.
Right, Nick?
All right. With a bunch of stoners. She's smiling.
I'm going to get all so right, Nick. Up tonight.
All right.
I'm like, Tupac.
You're not all high.
You're not anything like Tupac.
How about you, Kevin? You high? You look high.
I mean, I'm with Allie. I'm not as high as you're insinuating. But more than...
What kind of weed do you smoke, Ralph, that you think that...
I don't know, but this is making perfect sense to me, finally.
What are you talking about, Allie?
Nothing is any different than it usually is.
This vibe, not with Nesmith.
Stop it. Okay, that's not okay.
Even when you're not high, you don't like that.
So much.
You're all high, aren't you?
Jesus.
What's wrong with you? Goddamn showbiz.
Wow. I don't know if that's necessary. That sort of hostility.
Hey, you want to do the showbiz?
You'll be hearing from HR.
Sure, I will.
Congratulations again to People Magazine's most beautiful woman in the world, 2017. Any guesses?
Kendall Jenner.
No.
Hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me, though.
Yeah.
No, no.
Because they always try to pick someone, you
this
know,
is
famous
shocking.
And hot.
This is she is famous.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's her fifth time getting the honor.
First Pam
time,
Anderson?
First time she was given the title was in 1991, 26 years ago. Her fifth time, People Magazine has named her the world's most beautiful woman.
Farrah Abramson?
Not Farrah Abramson. Mm. Julia Roberts.
Okay.
She is white hot right now.
Julia Roberts. Isn't that an odd choice?
That is an odd choice.
I don't even think she has got a movie coming out.
Yeah.
Is that just, they're just going for star power to sell magazines, maybe?
I guess.
But even then, Julia Roberts?
She hasn't been really in a smash hit movie in 20 years.
Huh.
It's an odd choice.
That is an odd choice.
I think she's lovely. I think she's talented. She seems like a charming lady. I just don't know what she's got going on right now that the publicity machine would be gearing her up for. Oh, maybe because Carmelo Anthony got her pregnant, right?
That's, you know what happened? That's just a stripper,
oh,
I think,
really?
In
Are
New
you
York.
High?
Wait, is the stripper's name Julia Roberts?
Yes!
Oh, really?
See,
no, now
oh,
it all makes sense.
Wait.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just joking around, Allie. It's what I do.
I'm so high.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Speaking of high, Rihanna. She's got a big future in retail if the hits ever dry up. She shocked fans at the Fenty and Puma pop-up event in Los Angeles last Tuesday, where she showed off her designs.
Hmm.
How about that?
All right.
She's afraid of a little hard work. She even rang up some of the customers on the cash register. So her career in fashion could be taken off.
I like her.
I do, too.
I do, too.
She's got a lot going on. Boy, is she high, right? How high is she? About as high as Allie, usually. That's what I'm saying. All her highness.
You're like the weirdest narc ever right now.
Because you're high. It sounds so weird. I only said it once.
A guy brought some THC beer in.
Oh,
about
yeah.
A half
for those
hour,
of you
for those
know.
Of you just waking up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pot beer.
Yeah.
And these two have been swilling six packs all morning long.
I mean, it's pretty good.
We're all their highness.
It just tastes like beer, but you know, it's like, ooh, there's stuff in it.
Guys, Monessen, yeah, this was. See? You say it backwards. It sounds even worse.
Right?
Today's celebrity birthday is George Takei. He's 80 years old today.
Oh, my.
Jessica Lange. Oh, Feud is so good. So good. I'm so sad. There's only one more episode left.
That's FX?
FX, yeah. Feud with Bette Davis and Joan Crawford.
FX is killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really
they
are.
Do such great work.
Anybody watch Fargo last night? First episode of Fargo was last night. Taped. Anybody watch it?
I'm not. I can't answer because I taped it, so I haven't seen it yet.
You a couple behind?
No,
you can.
I'm only one
I
behind.
Said, did anybody watch it last night?
No.
You can say, no, I didn't watch
okay,
it.
Okay, no, I did not.
Because you taped it. So you can answer, Kevin.
Okay. But you get mad at me when I say I taped it.
He seemed pretty high.
How high
right
is
then.
He right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, he seemed pretty high.
Well,
I'm no different than always.
Andy Serkis is 55 years old today. Crispin Glover turns 53. Did I say Andy Serkis was 43 or 53? Anyway, he's 53. Shamar Moore is 47. Carmen Electra is 45. It's a pretty good looking 45 right there. Joey Lawrence, whoa, he's 41. And Miranda Kerr celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
New Rise Against snack. That is brand new Rise Against.
Play it again.
And it's called The Violence.
Play it again.
Well, we will play it again, but we have Tim McElrath on the phone
okay.
with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
We're so excited to have New Rise Against.
I'm super excited to give it to you. It's funny, and the first time I heard it was just on hold on my phone just now.
That's the first time you heard it?
Well, I've heard it before.
Okay. I was thinking that was the case.
The first time somebody else has played it.
It was
an interesting way to hear it.
You've been really sort of cryptic in this rolling out to this album. You sort of, you put up a website where people have to go decode songs and they come up with the song titles and stuff. Are people pretty much right on with the stuff they're decoding? Yeah.
Yeah, the fans are incredible at how how smart they are and how fast they figure that stuff out. You know, it just it blows me away to watch the labor intense fandom that goes into some of this decoding.
The first thing that I saw about this song and this album was somebody saying, "Did Rise Against just tease that they have a new song coming out on the 20th?" And that's when I started like going back and looking and seeing what's going on. So that's the name of the song, The Violence. The name of the album is Wolves, and it comes out June 9th. And we do want to announce right now that if you like that song, The Violence by Rise Against, you can right now download it from wherever you get music. It's available. It's available as of right this second. Tell us about the album. Is it very much like this song?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the song is indicative of the whole record, but the song in its directness and its rawness and its no frills, kind of just stripped down, that is indicative of what the record is about. And each song kind of has a different flavor, but this one kind of just cut straight through. You know, we didn't really we got down to business and just put these tracks out there, and they're all right in your face. You know, they're not tapping your shoulder. They're kind of punching you in the nose.
Right?
I think we need that now.
No kidding.
I really do.
I believe so, too.
How do you guys go about deciding if it's time to put out an album? Do you record music and write music all the time, and then you have enough, so you decide? Or you have a deadline? How do you do it?
Yeah, that's like, I mean, this is now our eighth record. That's how we used to do it. We used to go on the road and then come back and write music and then go back on the road and... Now we go on the road and we come back, and when we're ready to see each other again, then we start writing music and get back into it. When you're on the road, you want to get home. When you're home, you want to get back on the road. So as soon as we want to get back on the road, we're like, let's do this. I got some ideas, you know. And this, you know, being a band like Rise Against in the year 2016 and 2017, you know, there's a lot of low hanging fruit.
Right. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Tim.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a lot of stuff we wanted to start weighing in on.
One of your songs, if I'm not mistaken, is called A BS Song, but you use the word. That's an interesting song title.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I always was anticipating this moment when I had to talk about this song on radio where I can't say the word.
Right.
But one of those songs that we just, it's funny too, because it's a strong song, and I love it too, and of course, we just write songs. We don't think about whether they're going to be singles or on the radio. But the second the label heard it or people heard it, they were like, wait, this song, it's good, but you can't say that word. Can we change it? Like, well, no. That's kind of the entire DNA of the song rests on that word alone.
So right.
Change it, you know. Sorry. You know? So, yeah.
You should hear the conversations we have with our lawyers about that kind of stuff. It's great.
It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant at all.
I bet. Lawyers make things real interesting. We wanted to make an entire album of the artwork of the stolen Yahoo passwords from the giant leak. And, we had an interesting conversation with our lawyers, too, about that.
Talking about your music and the way people react to it, of course, there are favorite songs. I saw a bunch of – I was online last night, and I saw a bunch of lists of the top Rise Against songs and the ones that they like the most. Are there songs sometimes that you write, you put on an album, and they just don't seem to resonate, but you love?
Absolutely. There are songs that the four of us just, whether they are chosen as singles or not, we just insist on, you know, playing them live because we just can't get enough of them. There's a song called Survive, an old record that we've always just kind of, no matter what, we played it live. And what's interesting is that it slowly became a favorite. It slowly became a song that I think our passion for it, you know, indicated to the crowd, like, oh, this is a song that means something to these guys, and it became one of those songs. And then vice versa, you have songs that are buried on records that...
Now, when you say buried on records, is that just because you're not necessarily feeling it that strongly, or... What does that mean?
I look at like something like a single or a leadoff track as like the gateway drug to Rise Against, right? I want to have this song be the song that like gets you into Rise Against. Then there are other songs that may be like a deeper cut that I think is something that it is for the existing fan, somebody who understands us.
I got you.
But not necessarily like the first impression that you want to hear. And so I also think that the way people consume music is so much different, where when I was young, a song being at the end of a record didn't really matter because I was listening to the entire record anyway.
Right.
You know, or you know, even the song that was the first song of the B-side of the cassette, you know?
Right.
That was just as important as the first song on the A-side.
Dude, we're so old.
And nowadays, if you put a song close to the end of the record, it's like it either matters because people aren't listening to it front to back, or it even doesn't matter because like people are just hitting your stuff on shuffle anyway. But it's interesting to find the songs that find daylight are always. We were just talking about this last night in rehearsal, actually, because we were looking at like what people are sort of listening to and kind of surprised, like, oh, people love this song more than they love this song that we thought was more popular. Like, that's interesting.
Isn't it crazy seeing that instant gratification, that type of thing online now? Like when you first started, you would never know if something hit until you were live seeing their faces. But now you see it within minutes online if somebody liked something or didn't.
Yes, that is, yes. It's like instant gratification or it's instant, complete destroying of your world if they hate it.
Good I mean, no big deal. It's just soul crushing.
Good or bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good or bad. Yeah. My general motto is, like, don't read the comments, you know? Just keep doing what you're doing and put it out there. And if you're confident in it, you know, it'll resonate with somebody.
We're talking to Tim McElrath about Rise Against and the brand-new song that we just played called The Violence and the brand-new album called Wolves that comes out June 9th. Let's talk about touring. You're going to tour this summer with Deftones.
Absolutely.
For, it looks like, a month, right?
Yeah.
And you're also playing next Wednesday. You're playing at the Troubadour, which is sold out. But you're also, which is not hard to sell out, but you're also playing The Shrine Thursday, July 13th. And tickets, the presale is today at 10 a.m. at AXS.com. 10 a.m. this morning, the presale for the show at The Shrine. Tell us about getting back on the road again and the rehearsal that goes into that.
I'll let you know, I'm on my way to rehearsal right now.
Okay.
It's 7:15 in the morning.
I know. Well, someone made me call a radio station really early, so I gotta get in my car.
Those people suck.
Right? Get rid of them.
I know. Luckily, it's only 9:15, or it's already 9:15 in Chicago, so I got to
okay.
All right.
All right.
Later than you guys. But so yeah, it's funny you ask because we're in the middle of rehearsal right now. We were there last night for a long time, putting together these sets. We're doing some cool, like free shows: the House of Vans in Chicago, the House of Vans in Brooklyn, and then also the Troubadour. In Los Angeles, we're creating the set list. We're playing these smaller venues that we haven't played in a long time. And as we were creating the set list, we kept on going back to the chalkboard and trying to figure out, you know, what songs were we playing when we were playing these size rooms? You know,
right.
When we were playing this size room, like, what songs do we want to bring back in that environment? Because it's been a while since we've played these sort of, like, 500-cap rooms, you know?
Right.
And so it's hard, you know? Like, if you have 8 records, you have fans who have come into your band at multiple different, you know, points in your career, and trying to figure out which song, the old ones, the new ones, the singles, the deep cuts, the B-sides, the covers, and then cram it all into, you know, like 90 minutes or so. It's a tricky thing, and, you know, we kind of just follow our gut, and we're doing that pretty much as we speak.
It's sort of a nice problem to have, though, isn't it? To have a lot to draw from and figure out?
It is. And it's also guess and test. You know, we'll create a set list here today in Chicago. We'll play it this weekend in Brooklyn and L.A. And we will then figure out what worked, what didn't work. Like, what songs were weird to play back to back, you know, or where did we lose the crowd, or what song that we didn't play was the kid in the front row screaming the entire night, you know?
Sorry, I was just watching it, Allie.
Sorry.
Hey, on your website, I have to bring this up, and I apologize if you're a big-time hockey fan. I assume you are.
Oh, this is going to hurt.
Oh.
Right?
Do we have to talk about this?
I mean, because on your website, you have limited edition hockey jerseys.
You're a Blackhawks fan?
Oh, I'm talking...
No, listen, I'm a Los Angeles Kings fan, so my team isn't even in the playoffs.
We're not even in.
So we're not... We're not thumbing our noses at you. We're just saying that's gotta hurt.
Oh man, some of my best friends are in LA, and they're obviously Kings fans as well. So I was just talking to one of them last night, and he was like, "I almost feel bad for you, dude."
Right? That's pretty big because I thought we were doing the 1 year on, 1 year off thing pretty good between the two of our teams.
It's been heartbreaking. You know what's interesting too is that we made this record in Nashville. this last record.
Right.
Oh.
And so I spent a lot of time there, and I went to some of the Predators games, and I would go see the Hawks when they came into town.
Right.
And you know, it became like, just being there, I was like, it became like a rival team just for me. And so I was just like watching the Predators. I don't want to talk about it.
Way to go, Kevin.
I just brought it all down. I just had to bring it up because
now Tim hates us.
He's selling hockey jerseys on the website.
Yes. No, but that is true. We are doing that. That was something that we did. That just limited edition. You know, just we did like 150 of them for fun, and then people could like personalize it with their last name and their own number and all that stuff. So we thought it was cool. It happens to be a heartbreaking day to talk about hockey.
I apologize. No. I mean, I sort of had to bring it up, but I apologize.
All right, good on you.
Tim McElrath from Rise Against. The new song is "The Violence." We'll be playing it again. Let's play it. Can we play it again next? Let's play it again next.
Why not?
And the album is called "Wolves." It comes out June 9th. You can download the single that we're playing, "The Violence," right now, wherever you download your music from or you stream it. And you can also pre-order the album right now. It comes out June 9th, and then the shows again are the Troubadour next Wednesday, and you're playing the Shrine. The presale for that is today at 10 a.m. at AXS.com. Tim, we very much appreciate your time always when you stop by K-Rock, and thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for all your support, you guys, and everybody listening. Like, everybody out there is insane in terms of how big a fan they are of Rise Against, so we definitely appreciate all the love that comes from the part of the country.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Aisha Tyler is here.
Yay! Hi, guys.
I'm so happy that the conversation that we just had was off the air.
It not one part of it was safe for anyone listening or the government. I would assume is also listening with a checkbook and a pencil. No, Matt Kent. No. Yeah, terrible human beings. Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. We're always happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here. I haven't seen you in a while. It's been a while.
Now, you've got a lot going on, as always. Mm-hmm. As always.
Super slutty.
Director Aisha Tyler. Mm-hmm. Let's start with that, if you don't mind. Let's talk about the movie.
I just directed a movie. Hooray. It's an action thriller. It's called Axis. It is making its West Coast debut this Saturday at the new Port Beach Film Festival here in beautiful Southern California, and which is super exciting. So I'm going to be there to screen the movie and also to meet people after and do a Q&A and sign items, T-shirts, you know, body parts, whatever you bring
down.
Whatever
people want signed.
Yeah, clemency petitions, you know.
You can do that?
I'm a neck hand. I don't know what's going to go for you afterwards.
It won't hold up.
Yeah, exactly. If the warden's a fan, it might help. Bring out an Archer DVD. I'll sign it for your warden. But people who may have been paying attention last year know that I crowdfunded this movie, which was a really cool way to make a film.
Tell me about that from beginning to end.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Not the whole. I mean, not in real time.
I will condense. Well, you know, I did it that way for one specific reason. I'm very lucky to be super busy right now. I'm on 4 series. I had 1 week off last year to make a movie. And I knew if I didn't make it in that week, I wasn't going to get to make it at all in 2016. I'd have to wait another year.
Okay.
So crowdfunding is a really great way to know you're going to make a movie on your own schedule.
You
can submit it to a studio and they can say, we like it, but we'd like the guy in that suit to put some input. And then there's a lady who makes sandwiches and she's got to read it.
And then
the president of the company is going to go on his yacht for 3 years and then we'll get back to you. So this way I was like, okay, we started this campaign in April, and then a week into the campaign, we knew we were going to raise enough money to make the movie and I could start prepping it right away.
Oh, that's great.
So it was a great experience. And then it was really fun to share that with all the people that backed the film, people who love movies but maybe would never get to experience making one, got to be a part of the whole ride. I brought them along with, you know, videos and behind the scenes photos, and some of them got to visit me on set. Some of them got to be a part of the editing process. And I made this little thriller, which has amazing people in it.
And it all takes place in a car?
The whole movie takes place in a car, so it's super different.
When I heard that, I thought, wow, that's going to be difficult to make great.
Yeah.
And yet, if you nail it, it'll be amazing.
Thank you. And I think what was cool was that was an interesting set of problems to solve in the first film. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times they talk about when you're making a small indie movie, you know, reduce or eliminate the number of locations you have to go to, really kind of focus in. So there's only one location on this movie, was in a car. But what's cool about this film, and people may remember another movie with a similar conceit that came out a few years ago called Lock. It's a Tom Hardy movie, and it's a guy driving across England. It's set at night. Mm-hmm. So it's really just about the car. It's almost like a black box play. You're just looking at a guy in a car in the dark.
Right.
This is set at rush hour in L.A. driving from downtown to the beach. So there's the set of the car, but there's also all of Los Angeles as a second set. And you really get to see almost all of L.A.
Yeah.
And I think for people who think of L.A. as like, you know, palm trees and Kim Kardashians, but there's so much more going on here. And I really wanted to show the beauty and the ruggedness. You know, there are parts of this town that are gorgeous, the parts of this town that are, you know, kind of destroyed and ugly. But that also has its own beauty. So you see almost, you know, all of L.A. because he drives from Dodger Stadium to the Palisades.
Tell us about him. Who is he?
The lead actor is a relatively unknown guy here. He's an Irish actor named Emmett Hughes. He plays an Irish actor who's come to L.A. and had a lot of success. And we've got some Irish actors like that in real life. Russell Crowe's Australian, but Colin Farrell. He's had a lot of success. And then, like young guys with a lot of money can do, he's kind of thrown it all away.
Like most do.
You don't have to be Irish. Right. You just be a young person with money. You know, right. Something's bound to catch on fire. He's trying to put his life back together. And he is. On the day that this movie starts, he's about to start a brand big new film that's going to kind of turn his life back around. But things start to fall apart almost immediately. So it's about this guy trying to hold his relationships together with his family, with his girlfriend, with the people that he works with, trying to kind of stay on the right path, despite the fact that he's got a lot of demons,
right.
and he's a flawed guy, a good guy, but a guy with a lot of flaws.
Does his phone die? Because that happens to me, and then that would sort of ruin the movie.
Then it's like a 47-minute film, and also all of our Tuesday afternoons.
I'm just saying what happens to me when I'm driving is, you know.
The cool thing is, I think the movie's a drama, but it's also a thriller. It's very twisty. There's a lot of layers to it. It's great at the end when the movie ends because it's a very surprising film. I think people are really just surprised and delighted. And for people who go in thinking, ugh, a dude in a car, how's that going to be interesting? It's a really dynamic movie. A lot of stuff happens in the film because he's moving through the city and a lot of stuff is happening to him.
So you've got Archer, you've got Criminal Minds, you've got Whose Line Is It Anyway, you've got The Talk.
Mm-hmm.
But the passion right now of you talking about directing this, is this kind of what you want to move into?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm lucky to do all the stuff I'm doing.
Yeah.
And what's great is typically on when you're on a show, hopefully you move into directing on the show you're on. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to do that. But I mean, look.
Is that the ultimate goal, though?
Yeah. Of course it is. And not just because it's not like, well, you know, I'm an actor, but what I really want to do is direct and then also have sex with people who are over 18, but then just barely. So legal, but just by days. I love working with actors. And this movie, I directed 7 shorts before this, including a couple of rock videos for the band Clutch and one for Silver Sun Pickups, their music is the entire score of the film.
Fantastic.
And they were amazing. They gave me access to their entire catalog, and it's extraordinary. But I love making stuff, and I also love making stuff that for other people. Like, it's really cool to collaborate with great artists, and this was a great experience. The actors in the movie, Adam Rodriguez, Sam Rockwell, Kieran Hines from Game of Thrones and 3 million other movies, Thomas Gibson, Kirsten Vanksness is in the movie, Jerry Ferrara from Entourage, Kevin Pollak. I got a great cast.
All these people are in the movie.
This is insane. There's more, but I haven't had enough coffee to remember them all.
Maybe next
And also,
segment.
Apparently, I'm a jerk. but getting to collaborate with people that you think are amazing is just the coolest experience. So that was and I also think, look, this is a business that for the most part banks on your face. You know what I mean? So it's great to have something that's not entirely dependent on whether you had a salad or pizza for dinner. I had a giant lasagna for dinner last night.
All right.
So,
she's telling on herself.
Like a rock star, guys. Like a rock star. That's the life. You think it's yachts and Ibiza with biatches, but what it really is a lasagna and watching a third of a documentary on Netflix and then falling asleep on the couch. That's the life I'm living, y'all.
Wow.
Yes. Netflix and blorp.
Aisha Tyler is here. The movie is called Axis. The West Coast premiere will be at Newport Beach Film Festival this Saturday at 3 p.m. at Triangle Square Theaters, and you can get tickets available at NewportBeachFilmFest.com.
Yeah, and follow me at Aisha Tyler on all social media platforms because there's lots of information on the film.
We'll take a break online. And we'll be right back. Aisha Tyler is in the studio with us. She's got many things going on, including Archer, which airs Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on FXX.
Yeah.
You were at Coachella.
I was at Coachella last weekend.
How was it?
It's for amazing you. I'm alive. I was just telling you guys that I've never been. And I thought, I'm going to go and I'm going to spend the entire weekend just making fun of stupid hipsters with their mustaches, the ends kind of daubed in V vegan sauces, you know. Guy, you're wearing like, you know, dolphin shorts. You don't need suspenders.
Just muddling a drink.
Yeah, just muddling a drink. He brought his own drink and his own muddler, and he's actually never going to drink. He's going to muddle it eternally at some kind of like terrible performance art project, you know, crushing herbs on his finger and then running them under your nose. Smell the aromatics. And instead, I was like, oh my God, this is the best vegan ever. I love everybody. That was what happened.
It changed you.
It did, and I hate myself for it.
Why?
I feel so dirty.
Why do you hate yourself for it? You had a great time. It's a great time.
I have been enjoying my joylessness for at least a decade now.
Okay.
I was perfectly fine being dead inside. That was a nice place to be.
All right.
But no, you know, I mean, here's the thing. If you go with really good friends, it's just you hanging out in like 90 degree weather in your shorts for 3 days, getting drunk, which I'm a big fan of.
Right.
I'm an expert at.
Same.
And then all of a sudden a band that you love is playing in the background.
Right.
And it just augments it perfectly. Like, oh, if Kendrick Lamar would come to my backyard.
Right.
Yeah, then it would be perfect. But so I wasn't very good at it, though. Like, it's a lot of walking. You know, you can plan it all on an app. And I did that, but then never looked at my phone.
Well, that's sort of how it works.
Yeah.
You make an elaborate plan of everybody that you want to see and where you need to go and everything. And then it ends up you don't see most of that.
Yeah. And I don't want to make you feel badly. Did your knees kill you? Because I think of myself as young and fit. And every night I got in bed and I was like, oh, my God, it's like I hiked Everest. When really all I was doing was just trying to find a place that was serving hard liquor. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that was really focused on that.
I mean, there are very few of those there.
Oh, Drake is performing behind me, but I'm like, why can't I get some whiskey in this place? Who do I have to throw? I got in bed every night, like totally wrecked. But Drake did come out during Future set. Right. We were kind of walking back to the main stage when Future was performing. And then Drake came out and it was literally like a black hole had fallen into the center of Coachella and it was sucking all matter towards it. But no one was actually watching Drake. It was just a bunch of raised hands and phones and people like stumbling, you know, towards a tiny dot.
Sure.
And then Kendrick Lamar's performance,
get to stay and see him, unfortunately.
Well, yes. Yeah,
so
he was
so bummed
because
he's so amazing.
He's amazing. Yeah. His show was also the best produced show. Like, even if he's not your artist, his show looked the best, had the best visuals, was like the best kind of put together. We were there for the Radiohead implosion.
Yeah, that was bad. That was sound sadness, trouble. Yeah. But what did you think of Lady Gaga? Did you see her?
Oh, God, I left before Lady Gaga, and here's why.
She had amazing video.
Yeah.
She looked, that whole set looked
great.
Everything looked great. I've never seen her live before.
I feel ambivalent about Lady Gaga as a musician. I don't dislike her. She's just, I don't feel anything. But I also felt like she had done probably the best live work she was ever going to do at the Super Bowl. That's when you turn it on, when like 200 million people are watching.
I'm going to tell you
not
that
when 100,000 hipsters are watching.
I'm going to tell you that that's exactly what I thought, and she blew me away.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
She
all right,
was
that's
really
good to
good.
Know.
Yeah.
See, but that you know what you just reminded me of? I am dead inside, so thank you for that because I still feel
I'm not
nothing.
Trying to came make you feel
around.
That
feel
way.
Nothing whatsoever. But thank you for reminding me of who I really am deep down. Just a crunchy little burnt corner of a piece of toast that you found in the bottom of your toaster tray.
I mean, I feel like it's possible you're just working too much.
That's entirely
possible.
How
many people
possible?
Tell you that?
Everybody. Everyone? Everybody. And I feel it like today I'll leave you guys and I'm going to go do two episodes of The Talk and then get ready for Newport Beach and there's an opening night ceremony and there's all that stuff. And that all feels exciting in concept. But then when you're like stuck in, you know, rush hour traffic trying to get back to Orange County, you know, you want to jump off of a very low ledge into that glass of whiskey I'm still trying to get from Coachella. But no, I've
heard you talk on Girl on Guy.
Yeah.
About the fact that people think that you're able to actually juggle it all and make it all work along with a personal life and then it just isn't really possible.
No, it's not possible. Having it all is not possible.
Right.
And also, neither is balance. I mean, that's something that Oprah uses to sell you magazines.
Met Oprah.
I met Oprah.
You hung out with Oprah.
I hung out with Oprah. Oh, she came on the show. She was on The Talk on Monday.
And?
It was amazing. She's amazing. I mean, of course she's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. She is also someone, if anybody says the word Oprah, everyone goes running towards an unspecified point with their cameras up.
Sure.
But, you know, she was incredibly generous. She stayed on the show for an hour. She just she's, you know, she's been, she's given a million interviews, so she's like the best interviewee. Yeah. She kind of knows exactly what people want.
Right.
But also it never felt manufactured. It always felt like really genuine, and she was complimentary, and, you know, she smelled lovely.
You know, I was going to ask what she smelled
Ellie,
like.
Ellie, really?
It's kind of my thing.
Every
like,
double
good.
Chunk blondie brownies is what she smells like.
Of course she does.
Yeah,
of course.
With macadamia nuts.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
It was just emanating from her very soul.
Warm, think it's
fresh,
just in her
soft
pores?
Cookies. It's just in. It's just who she is, y'all.
God,
it's just her essence. You know
it
how the
is.
Center of the galaxy smells like strawberries?
Yes.
Center of Oprah. Chocolate, double chocolate chunk blondie brownies.
Wow.
I love it so much.
With,
my wife used to watch every single day, every episode of Oprah. And I was just convinced one day Oprah was going to say, all right, ladies, your men, kill them. And I'm and I would be first. I would be first. My wife would walk right into me and say, "Oprah said it's cool." I was
Oprah
worried.
Oprah said I need to be my best self, and that clearly means eliminating you. I think a lot of people in relationships might say that about their,
I mean, let's be honest,
significant other of whatever gender. But yeah, she was amazing. You were the only thing I was going to say about the balance thing is I think all I do is just get up in the morning and just. Execute a list.
Just keep going.
Until I drop, and then I just get up in the morning. And I feel like I'm failing a lot of the time, but I also feel like I don't subscribe to this kind of bull crap Hollywood idea that you have to walk around looking perfect all the time. Clearly, if you're looking at me, thank God this is radio.
Don't stop.
But you know, like, I want to be like, I want to make stuff with my friends. Try to do my best work, try to be as genuine as possible, and not die thinking, man, I should have gone for it. You know what I mean? That's just like my basic philosophy. That's why I don't have a magazine, because I just told you all of my secrets. That was it. That's just like a crappy newsletter. It's not even an HTML newsletter. It needs no
really
photos.
Blog,
yeah,
that's really?
Not even really a blog. It's just a lame tweet.
How often do you do Girl on Guy now?
So Girl on Guy went to sleep at the end of 2016.
Uh-huh.
Not dead, but that was at the end of 5 seasons, 260 episodes. I was like, what do I want for my life? I really want to direct more movies. I have to carve some space.
Something has to go.
Something has to give. So I have 4 shows in production. None of those can go away without me not being able to pay my mortgage. And so Girl on Guy, which is definitely my passion project, was the thing that just, it's just sleeping now. But I tell people it's like The Wire. You can go back and watch all 5 seasons. It's waiting for you. And I've had some great ones on that show. I mean, I got to interview Lemmy Kilmister, the lead singer of Motorhead, before he died. Henry Rollins from Black Flag. Charlize Theron was one of my last episodes. Viola Davis, Chris Rock. So the only person I haven't been able to get on the show is Dave Chappelle. So the show might resuscitate briefly just so I can grab him and then go back to bed again. Just that one, like a random magic episode just falls into your phone. You're like, what's going on?
Have you seen his comedy specials on Netflix?
I haven't watched them yet because I haven't had an uninterrupted 3 hours to just sit down.
Well,
and,
you can just watch one of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm one of those people with comedy specials where I feel like I want
to. If there's 2, you have to?
I have to watch the whole thing through, and I have to have an opinion about it because everyone's asking me. And so I can't just put it on while I'm, like, you know, doing CrossFit.
He does a whole thing, a whole episode on the 4 times he met OJ.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, he's another level.
He is another level. Yeah. He has an ease, and we're friendly. I think he's a really amazing mind. I think you see his mind working, and it's kind of very complex and sprawling, and I think he thinks in a really broad way about a lot of stuff, and you see that in his stand-up. But I also think he has this ease on stage, which comes from the fact that he's been doing it since he was essentially like a child.
It's effortless.
Yeah, he's just hanging out.
Yeah, and that ease makes people like lean into him in a way. I think with comics, we're always sitting back with our arms crossed like, hey, make me laugh, tell me a joke. And with Dave, he just can go out. Like, we just did a fundraiser together, and he just went out and talked about self-affection, I'll put delicately.
Okay, right.
And you know, and it was like a bunch of like stuffy old people in suits. You know what I mean? And he just walked down and he's like, no, let's talk about how much I touch myself when I'm in hotel rooms. And everyone was like, well, let's talk about that. Let's do that. God, I never knew how curious I was about Dave Chappelle's personal, his self-love.
He tends to share that. He tends to share that a lot with people.
Yeah.
That was also part of the special.
Yeah,
so, maybe,
so there you go.
They
were all like, I paid a lot of money to hear this 7-minute abrogated bit about you just abusing your nether regions. But let's discuss
it. Now, I'm sure that you've asked him to come on The podcast.
Well, he was the black Bill Murray for a while.
I was
walking into a TARDIS and talking into like a magical phone, and it wasn't showing up. But yeah, if I could get him on, I would definitely bring the show back, and I think I will. I think the other reason I put it to sleep was I was so busy. I was trying to get someone who had a really busy schedule to come meet me at like 2:30 on a Thursday.
Right.
It just wasn't.
You fill up every minute of your day. You're gonna die.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, I do the talk from like 7 to 2, and then I do Criminal Minds until 10 or midnight or sometimes 3 in the morning, and then I sleep in a pool of my own tears over the weekends.
Is Archer the best gig?
The easiest gig. I mean, yeah. The easiest gig and the best gig. Yeah, because it's an hour every couple of weeks, and I'm doing that character for 8 years now, so I understand her. But then it changes all the time. This season is Archer Dreamland. Archer ostensibly is in a coma, so this is a season inside his mind, and we're in 1940s. Los Angeles,
like you are,
kind of film noir, like one does.
Sure.
Trope.
And Lana is a torch singer who may or may not be what she seems. So there's all everyone's kind of the same but a little different.
Now this is season 8, right?
This is season 8, right?
There are already okay 9 and 10.
We've been ordered through season 10.
That's
so
where you
Archer
like
fans
damn
can
it,
rest.
Let me sleep.
Exactly. Come on, guys, sustaining
like
my career.
Any of the other three of her jobs would give her some rest. I'm not sure Archer would.
No,
it's not much time.
No, well, there's Archer. Luckily, doesn't take much for me.
Right.
I was supposed to only do 6 episodes of Criminal Minds. I was just supposed to be a guest star while AJ Cook was on on maternity leave, and now I'm going into my 3rd season on that show. So, I'm grateful that apparently I'm just neat. I clean up behind myself. I haven't flipped a table. I just think they keep me around because they're like,
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You're neat.
I'm just polite.
Come on.
I'm well behaved, guys. I go to craft services. I wipe up my bagel crumbs. That's just a nice way to be.
To staying
it's
on a show.
Good to have.
Yeah. I read the sign. I know my mom doesn't work here. All right.
Aisha Tyler, we're out of time. I apologize. No. I apologize. The movie is this weekend is Axis. The West Coast premiere will be at Newport Beach Film Festival. It is 3 p.m. at the Triangle Square Theater.
This Saturday.
And you can get tickets available at NewportBeachFilmFest.com.
Yeah, and come say hi. I'm going to do a Q&A after, and you can meet the cast. Kirsten Bankston is going to be there. Other cast members are going to be there. I'm going to sign things and take photos and talk about movie making.
We always love having you on the show. Thank you.
You guys are literally the best.
Thank you very much. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56. Ralph Garman has stepped in for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
How high are you guys right now?
Oh, for the love of God,
really,
Ralph.
Really high?
We had some THC beer earlier.
Yeah, you did.
But it was at like 6:30.
Does that sound weird?
No.
Oh.
It sounds perfectly normal to me.
Yes, it does. I have had a granola bar.
A little dry mouth, Kev? A little dry mouth? Would you like some more beer?
No, I'm good.
Dry mouth?
I'm good. I don't have dry mouth.
Munchies at all? Hungry?
No. I'm hungry.
Some cookies? Would you like some cookies?
I could eat some cookies.
Yeah. That's Kevin all the time.
That's all the time.
I warned you. Don't tell anybody I didn't warn you.
About
Prince.
Oh, no.
Oh, they took down the songs?
Yep.
I
told you there was a new EP coming out of 6 previously unreleased Prince songs that were available on iTunes. But I told you, if you wanted to get the samples, if you wanted to hear what was going on, you should get over there soon because there was a lawsuit that was filed from Paisley Park Enterprises, Prince's estate, trying to stop the release of that EP because the guy who released it, who was Prince's longtime sound engineer, they claimed had no rights to those songs. Well, the title track Deliverance is still bouncing around on the internet, but iTunes pulled the EP as of last night. So
that Deliverance is on SoundCloud, I think.
Yeah, I think that one track is available still. But there was a CD version that was supposed to go on sale June 2nd at Walmart and Target and other realtors. Not realtors at all, retailers.
That's odd.
That'd be weird. They're selling houses and CDs. but that only depends on whether the lawsuit does not go further or not. So we'll have to wait and see. But as of now, just one song from that EP is available for you to hear. And I warned you. Don't say I didn't warn you.
You did warn
you
us.
Did.
Thank you.
That happened.
You guys loved Deadwood as much as I did back in the day when it was on HBO?
It was a great show.
Did you watch Deadwood?
I didn't watch Deadwood.
You didn't watch Deadwood?
No.
Oh, so much cursing. So many curses.
Okay.
Like really, like an art form of cursing. Like the,
that's a weird.
They built an altar to the C word, really, on that show.
Okay.
Boy, did they use it within an inch of its life. Well, it's back.
What?
Yep. Ian McShane, who played Al Swearengen.
So good.
On that show, was brilliant on that show. He told an interviewer this week, there is a two-hour movie script that has been delivered to HBO. So we're going to get at least a Deadwood movie.
Huh.
No word on casting. But creator David Milch wrote the script, so you know it'll be faithful to the original if you were a fan like I was. So that's good news.
It's great news.
All right.
And Bill O'Reilly, don't tell you I didn't warn you. I told you yesterday.
You
I warned
did tell
you.
Us yesterday, yeah.
I said he may not be coming back from his vacation.
It did happen.
Sure enough, Fox pulled the trigger yesterday. And here was their statement. After thorough and careful review of the allegations, meaning these women who have claimed Bill O'Reilly sexually harassed them, and in some cases just plain harassed, the company and Bill O'Reilly have agreed that Bill O'Reilly will no longer be returning to the Fox News channel. Oh, did Bill O'Reilly agree to that?
I mean, I feel like he probably was forced to agree to that.
Guys, I think, no spin zone. You should probably not put me back on the air. You think, is that what he said, you think?
No.
No. So first, Roger Ailes, the chairman of Fox News, gone. Now their longtime star, Bill O'Reilly, gone. I don't think there's been a Fox News without Bill O'Reilly. I think he's been there since the beginning.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hmm. So, they're doing their best to try to clean up their image over there.
Who are people 80 and above going to trust with their news?
Right? Well, my dad's going to be so upset.
That's what I'm saying. I broke it to my parents yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
And?
They said, shut up, Tucker Carlson's on.
Right? They're like, Hannity's on.
You. How high are you? They said to her, because she's all stoned, probably.
No.
That's your business, madness.
Why are you doing
that? Not doing anything, Allie. How high are you?
Right?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Miranda Kerr is 34 years old today. Joey Lawrence is 41. Carmen Electra's 45.
Whoa.
That's for Joey Lawrence, the whoa?
Oh, was he not just then?
She's so high.
How high are you? was he not just then?
You did it right after Carmen Electra.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
That was odd.
That is weird.
Was he not just then was her question.
That was the question. I'm not one to point a finger at bad questions, but that was pretty good.
Listen.
I'm just saying that was pretty good.
Crispin Glover's 53. I can kick, man.
The weirdest
Remember
dude
him
ever.
On Letterman? Yes. He was the best.
Weirdest dude ever.
Andy Serkis, 53 as well. Jessica Lange, 68 years old. She was, do you remember the original King Kong from the 70s where she got her big break?
No.
Playing the blonde? The King Kong abducts. You don't remember that movie, King Kong?
I mean, I remember that it existed.
That was her big break. She played the...
Oh, she was the one in his hand?
Yeah.
Oh.
And now look at her. Right. She is considered one of our finest actresses. 68 years old today. And George Takei, Mr. Sulu himself, turns 80. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. This time every Thursday we check in with Jim Rome. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Rome. And the podcast is Jim Rome's Daily Jungle. You can also find that at jimrome.com. Jim, welcome to the show. How are you?
Kevin, Allie, guys, can I first say, first things first?
Yes, first.
Let me wish you both a very merry stoner Christmas.
Yes.
I know how much the high holiday 420 means to both of you, so bake on, stoners. I hope it's everything you both thought it would be. And you have a wonderful day burning the hippie lettuce.
You know what we had today, Jim?
What do you got?
THC beer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How's that?
We did
How's that?
That?
Stay thirsty, my friend. Stay thirsty.
Good. No, now I'm just hungry.
Yeah.
Of course. Hey, look, I'm not here to judge. It's not really my thing. It's not where I live, but I know you guys do. So embrace it, twist it, burn it. Just go with it.
We do. All right, let's change from that very happy topic to Aaron Hernandez, if you don't mind. Whiplash yes. Radio. Jim Rome, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, not a happy topic at all. In fact, that is one of the strangest, most bizarre, tragic stories ever.
Yep.
And let's not get this twisted, though. Not like you twist your joint. Don't twist this story. The tragedy is not that he took his own life. It's that he wasted his life. He took somebody else's. He played some sort of role in the deaths of two others. He ruined nearly everybody's life around him. This guy had the life that we all wanted and would give anything for and threw it all away. And for what? To be a gangster? I mean, I have no idea why he did what he did, and I don't think we ever will. It is a weird, weird, tragic story.
Allie, you know a lot about him. He's been, you said, associated with gangs forever.
Since he was a teenager. He just got into this world in Bristol, and he couldn't get out.
But don't you usually use the NFL to get out?
A lot of people do. But you know what? There was something that kept drawing him back into it.
I think yes and no, Allie. Honestly, I think yes and no. I think that he did have some trouble in high school. I know he had some trouble in college. And if you know these guys, a lot of these guys, they can't get away from the neighborhood. And it does suck them back in, and it drags them back in. But I don't think that's the case here. I mean, I really think this was not a case of the life choosing him. He chose the life. He sought this out. He continued to roll with guys that he shouldn't have rolled with, that he didn't have to roll with. He wanted this life.
Yeah.
And I have no idea why. So I don't think it's as simple as saying he just got sucked back in. He went looking for it.
What do you think of all the talk of the timing of it and how now maybe the family might get, I don't know, money? Have you heard all of that kind of talk?
Yes. Yes. It's kind of strange. I mean, the timing of it does make sense because it does not, because he'd beaten a double murder rap, and his attorneys felt good that they had a chance to appeal his lifetime sentence, and there's a chance. I mean, a small one, but a chance that he might get out.
And wasn't that just like 4 or 5 days before?
Yes, it was exactly. It was 5 days before. So why would you kill yourself then if, in fact, he did? You know, he's got an ex-agent and an attorney who are saying, how do we know that he killed himself? How do we know that he wasn't murdered? And topics like that. But to your other point, this sense of abatement ab initio, right? That means if a person dies before they exhaust all their legal appeals, the case goes back to the beginning, meaning he was never actually convicted of murder. So that way, maybe he could protect his family against civil litigation. I don't really buy that. I don't think this guy's a mastermind criminal. I don't think he's playing chess while we're playing checkers. I mean, the dude got caught in part because of blue cotton candy bubblicious on a bullet casing.
I mean,
caught in part because the video system that he put in his own house had him holding a gun minutes after the murder. So, no, I don't think that's why that was that. But the bottom line, we can't answer any questions about this guy. We'll never know.
All right, let's change topics to the NBA playoffs. The Clippers and the Jazz tied at 1-1. Clippers not looking great.
Not looking great at all.
I mean, even in the win.
I liked it.
Yeah, yeah, really, Kevin. Stop with the hot takes, all right? Stop with the hot takes. Man, you just say things. You just throw things up against the wall to see what will stick. Clippers not looking real good. No,
but I'm saying even in their win.
Kevin, you're right. You are right, as always. I mean, in the first game, they come out, and all the pressure's on these guys because we know if they don't get it done, you got to break them up. So what happens? In the first minute, Utah loses their best player, Rudy Gobert. So you're thinking it's finally going to break their way. The Clippers go into the tank. They get beat. The home court gets ripped from them. And I'm thinking they're going to break that team up before they make it back to the locker room. But they manage to get the second game. I think they're going to be all right because Utah's busted up. And they'll find a way to grind this out. Then they'll get to the second round. Then they'll get their faces punched in by Golden State. But if they at least get to the second round, they can make the argument that it really does work. Don't break us up.
Wow. Okay. So second round is what they have to make for that. Otherwise,
absolutely. Yeah. And even then, depending on how the second round, if that's as ugly as it usually is when they play Golden State, I'm not saying that you don't bust it up. I'm saying if they hang in, they land a couple of shots, we can talk about it. But I'm also saying that if they can't beat a Utah team that's as busted up as it is right now, you break them up before they get off the floor.
Wow, that's crazy.
There's your hot take, bro.
I mean, that is crazy considering the players they have. It's just, it's one of those situations where it makes sense on paper and then you put them on the court and it just never happens.
No, because it's chemistry. The pieces do not, exactly. It's chemistry. They do, these guys underachieve. They go out of the star power, but sometimes the pieces just don't fit. And right now it looks like they don't.
All right, hockey playoffs. Ducks just swept the Flames.
Wasn't it beautiful? Go Ducks. The Ducks ownership of Calgary is like some kind of international incident now, because 13 years of domination in the Honda Center was already crazy enough. And then they went into the Saddle Dome and they cold cocked the Flames in their building. Things were looking really nice for the Ducks right now. I think they're the class of the West, even with Cam Fowler being out because he's skating, he's getting better. I'm not sure I've ever said this on your show, but I'm just going to put myself out there right now. I'm going to let it rip.
All right.
Allie, wait for it.
Okay.
A little longer.
All right.
A little longer. And go Ducks! Go Ducks! How you like me now? I think I'm just going to drop that microphone and walk off. Go Ducks! Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, you're speechless, aren't you?
We all
I said it.
Yeah.
They're that good.
I tuned out.
You tuned out. Bake on, girlfriend.
Jim Rome follow.
Bake on, girlfriend.
Follow Jim at Jim Rome, and his podcast is Jim Rome's Daily Jungle. It's at jimrome.com.
Hey, Allie.
You know what tastes so good right now?
No.
Key lime pie from CPK.
Oh,
right?
You went there.
Right?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I love it.
They're
I
the
love,
best.
Love key lime pie from CPK. And you, and as high as you guys are right now, you're probably slamming pies. Entire pies.
We don't have pies. We need
a fork, a fork and a knife, Kevin.
Dude, I don't even think need a fork. Just pie in the face.
Thank
Preach.
You, Jim.
Wait, Preach.
We always appreciate your time, Jim. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Dr. Drew coming up like we do on Thursdays. This is a weird story out of Canada where they're running out of cemetery space. Does that make any sense at all?
Should my mic be on?
It should. Does that make any sense?
No, Canada seems like a vast land.
It seems like it's...
They, what?
It seems
a vast land.
It seems like it's 90% unused...
It does.
...land. I don't understand how this is happening, but they are saying that it's a looming crisis, and space is going for as high as $25,000 just to get a plot.
I feel like this is just their way of jacking up the prices for nothing.
Same. Here's the news.
Cemeteries across Canada are running out of space, and no matter how unfortunate the circumstances, prices rise when space is at a premium. There are 92,000 graves in Vancouver's Mountain View Cemetery, the city's only graveyard. 30 years ago, a grave there cost just over $100. Now, only 600 sites remain, each costing, get this, $25,000. So it may seem like an obvious question, but why are you running out of room?
Well, we're running out of room because, as I characterize cemeteries, they are the forgotten landscape. They're the forgotten land use. We've managed to, on the whole, build healthy cities with good infrastructure and downtown cores and housing and employment lands, but we've forgotten about cemeteries. So we've forgotten about that end-of-life experience, and we've really neglected the importance of remembrance and places of grief and mourning.
So he's talking about just in big cities, like being convenient to where you're living, being able to have a place to mourn.
How do you forget about death?
Well, I mean, as you're building stuff, you're not like, what about when we die? Where should they go? You're busy, Kevin. You're busy living.
We have on the line Gordon McLeish, who runs the Mountain View Cemetery. Hey, Gordon.
Hey, how's it going, eh?
It's going well for us. How's it going for you?
Yeah, we're running out of space up here. It's crazy. Yeah.
That does seem odd. Why?
Why does it seem so odd,
eh? Because can't you just go another mile or two out of town and make a new cemetery?
Well, you know, that's a great idea. Why don't we just go outside and just dump people on the freeways, I guess, then? What are you, out of your mind?
I don't see how that's equal.
Well, it's like a mile out of town is like businesses and things. Like, you know, it's not, we don't just, you know, live all up here in fields of grain or whatever, you know? I don't know what you think about Canada, but, you know, we have a lot of business and stuff going on up here.
It just seems like there's a lot of untapped land that nothing's really going on. Why not add a cemetery there?
Well, a lot of people don't want to drive, you know, like an hour or 2 hours away to go see their loved ones. Eh?
But they would if they didn't have to pay $25,000 for one of your plots.
It's really good land, though.
It is.
We put you down there for keeps.
Well.
Right.
By definition, I think.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, but, that's yours. You get to live there forever.
So. Right. Okay. So 25 grand, don't you feel like you're sort of ripping people off?
No, not at all. Because, look, you can't take it with you. What are you going to do with that $25,000? Just stick it in your bum?
Well, I think
Wait. Is that what you do up there?
No, it's like when you're dead, you can't, you know, what are you going to do with 25 grand?
Right, but...
Give it to me. I'll put you there and I'll take care of you and give you a nice stone, eh?
But a lot of the older people don't have that 25 grand and their family has to pay for it.
Well, then they better keep living.
But that's not an option.
Well, we do have some cheaper options.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cheaper than the 25 grand? I hope so.
Like right here. Right, currently now making a deal with this this ice hockey rink, eh?
Okay.
We can just put you in the ice.
Oh, no.
Freeze you over.
No, so people are, like, skating on Nana?
Yeah, it's a great view of the game, eh?
Oh, my
gonna put in that, you know, for like $10,000, we'll put you at center ice.
I feel like.
Wow, I mean, that's not bad.
Right? One of the face-off circles is like $5,000. You want to be in the trapezoid, that's like $2,500.
Okay.
But, you know, it's easy caretaking. We just run the Zamboni over here every once in a while.
I mean, this seems like a bad idea. What other ideas you got?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Okay, great. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. The High and Mighty Festival is August 5th and 6th at Oak Canyon Park. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. to celebrate the launch of their own upcoming August festival. Sublime with Rome invite you to a private acoustic performance today. Sublime with Rome, private acoustic performance at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach starting at 6 p.m. today. The first 200 people to arrive will be able to catch the show.
What?
Right? That's
really?
What I'm saying. That's my point.
That's like a perfect day.
6 p.m. today.
It's a perfect night.
Right. Sublime with
For
Rome.
Late afternoon.
It is 8:34 now. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Waiting for.
I think Ralph's singing worked, and I think your hay is, that was a missed opportunity. I'm sorry.
Well
I apologize for that. Yeah. Thank you. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:51. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Glad we're getting a doctor on the phone because you guys are high.
No.
How high are you? You are both stoned.
No.
Yes.
No, Ralph.
You just had a little bit, but it's taking its toll.
I feel like that's not true.
It really is.
There was some THC beer going on this morning.
You're
that
both
was happening.
High. We need the doctor to make a house call.
I don't feel like
to get you guys dehyde.
I don't think that's a thing.
With some anabuse or charcoal filter your blood or something. There's something. Huh. He's a doctor. He knows what to do.
Okay, but
an IV.
I ordered that charcoal that you use on your teeth. To whiten it. Have you heard about it?
Yeah, briquettes?
No.
Does that help you be less high?
No, I don't think so.
Because I think that's what the conversation was.
Oh, I heard charcoal.
Holy crap.
She's stoned. Happy 420, everybody. You know who else is probably stoned today? Bill O'Reilly. Now that he doesn't have a job anywhere, he can just sit back and just toke up a storm. We'll do it live! Yeah, he lost his job over there at Fox News. He did molest and harass a bunch of women there. So that was not good. He did call one African-American employee there at Fox News hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. He used to leer at her and go, "Hey, you're hot chocolate." That sounds like something Bean would say.
It does.
Right?
Do you remember?
Thank God he wasn't here when Aisha Tyler was here. Because he absolutely would have busted out some hot chocolate. All over her.
Oh.
I didn't mean to put it that way.
Do you remember the first woman? It was like early 2000s. She was a producer.
Yes.
Andrea Macklin.
Yes.
And she had audio tapes of him trying
calling.
To have phone sex with her. And he mistook the word loofah and said falafel. So he's like, "You're in the shower. Just rub that falafel all over you."
Yeah.
I have not had a falafel since. He ruined falafels for me.
Wow. And loofahs.
And loofahs. Yeah. It's disturbing. Yeah.
So the most disturbing thing about that is he ruined loofahs for you?
And falafels. And more falafels. Importantly.
No, the whole thing disturbs me.
Okay. She's starving. She's stoned and she can't eat a falafel now. Imagine her pain.
He's a horrible, horrible human.
Hot chocolate. Oof. Anyway, it was everybody was talking about yesterday, especially the late night shows. Stephen Colbert, especially, was focusing on that story because you have to remember his Colbert Report, his character on the Colbert Report.
Oh, that's right.
On Comedy Central was largely based on Bill O'Reilly. He took a lot from him, and so much so that Stephen Colbert had a very special guest last night via satellite. Stephen Colbert was a guest on the Stephen Colbert Show.
Okay.
But the Stephen Colbert from the Colbert Report, not the one that does the late night show.
Oh, so good.
Right-wing pundit Stephen Colbert.
Love it.
Did chime in on the news that Bill O'Reilly had been fired by Fox News. And needless to say, he was not happy.
Hello, nation. Shame on you. You failed him. You failed Bill O'Reilly. You didn't deserve this great man. All he ever did was have your back. And if you're a woman, you know, have a go at the front, too. And what? Suddenly sexual harassment's a crime? But that's the country we live in now. Obama's Trump's America.
Yeah. Thanks, thanks, Obama's Trump. Will Smith looks like he's going to be the new genie in Aladdin.
Okay.
Do you want to follow Robin Williams in that role?
Probably
not. Do you
want
to be the guy that takes on the genie role in Aladdin? They're doing the live-action remake of the Disney classic animated film. The musical will be a live-action film like they're doing now with all the Disney classics. And Will Smith apparently is going to star as the genie.
Hmm. That's going to be a very different genie.
Very different. Robin Williams sort of put his stamp on that character,
yeah,
man. It'd be hard to imagine anyone else in that role. The roles of Jasmine and Aladdin have yet to be cast, but they're going to be racially appropriate. They're shooting for, they don't want to, you know, they're not going to white it up. They're going to whitewash it.
They're not going to white it up?
They're going to white it up.
No, Matt Damon.
Get some hot chocolate. Get some hot chocolate in those roles.
Do not say that.
Hey, hot chocolate. Hey, Jasmine, you're like hot mocha. You're like a mochaccino. You're like a hot mochaccino, Jasmine.
How high are you?
Right.
Just try and be like the rest of the kids. Guy Ritchie's going to direct, so that's encouraging.
Oh, that is encouraging.
I think so, too. And is Britney Spears ready to get married again? That's what people around her are saying.
Hmm.
Some people probably shouldn't be.
Right?
She wants to propose to her much younger boyfriend, Sam Asghari. According to sources, she is planning a butterfly-themed wedding.
Wait, she's already planning it, but yes. She hasn't asked him or he hasn't asked her.
That's what they're saying, yes.
Wow, I thought I was the only one that did that.
A butterfly-themed wedding. Is she a 12-year-old girl?
I think so,
yeah. She wants to have a barbecue-themed bachelorette party.
Barbecue themed?
Yes.
What does that mean? Just meat everywhere?
A lot of sauce. Just smearing each other with sauce. Big sauce fight.
Okay.
Yeah. And she says she's going to combine the barbecue theme with fat freezing spa treatments.
Stop it.
Come on. That's the perfect idea. You eat the barbecue.
Words now. This is.
You get fat.
This is ridiculous.
Come on. And then you freeze it off.
Oh, I want the best for Britney.
The perfect idea. It's Britney, bitch. That sounds like a party. Is no one else on board with this?
I mean, it can't be possible that it's actually happening.
And it wouldn't be 420 without a Seth Rogen story. He is truly indulging in his fratness. He seems like the ultimate frat boy, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's just been made an honorary member of the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity at the University of Vermont. And he went bowling with his new brothers this week. He said he's proud to be a Pike. Because the fraternity.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Do they not like that? Oh, really?
Really?
You don't call a fraternity a frat.
Okay.
I did not know that.
Would you call your country a...
What?
That was always their
That's
response.
What they say?
That's always
really?
Their... Didn't you know any frat guys in college?
Hell no.
You don't call a fraternity a frat. Would you call your country a...
Huh.
Really?
Yes. The fraternity raised $32,000 for his charity, Hilarity for Charity, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to Alzheimer's research.
That's pretty
and
cool.
Care. It is yeah. very cool. So they raised that much money, and he did them a solid by becoming an honorary member of their fraternity, and then he went bowling with those guys. And you know what else he did?
Sure.
Right?
I mean, sure.
As high as you two right now, that's Seth Rogen. I heard charcoal.
It did.
Today's celebrity birthdays. George Takei is 80 years old today. Jessica Lange is 68. Andy Serkis, 53 years old today. Crispin Glover is 53 as well. Shamar Moore is 47. Carmen Electra is 45. Joey Lawrence, 41 years old today. And Miranda Kerr celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every Thursday morning at this time, we talk to the good Dr. Drew. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Drew. And you can get all of his podcasts at drdrew.com. Drew, welcome.
Yes, and what a auspicious day, 420, that I should be broadcasting with you guys.
Right, exactly. That's what we were talking about. We had a weed beer earlier today.
Really?
Yes.
That's fascinating.
Would you like some?
Sure. Why not?
Wow. Today's a great day.
Very surprised by that. let's talk about cannabis as a scientific Let's talk about ways to treat disease with cannabis.
Well, you mentioned scientific, and let me just open with my most sincere frustration with the fact that there's such weird energy around cannabis and has been for so many years that physicians and medical scientists have not been able to properly study it because it's still a controlled substance in most states and in the eyes of the federal government, and it is a chemical like any other, and it has utility, I'm sure. If we could properly study it, we really understand better how we could use this as something to help people.
Wait, I would assume that scientists could study anything they want to study.
And you would think,
in the name of science.
How about the fact that you would think that you could use as a physician anything that would help your patient? Let's take an extreme situation. Let's say you have a patient who's dying, who can't tolerate opiates, but really likes pot and would like to be on taking pot until they die. Why the hell not? If they feel better, why shouldn't somebody be allowed to take it? It's the most bizarre. Our laws around drugs are so bizarre, so truly bizarre. But that's just my frustration. Let's talk about the medical application.
Well, I'm surprised to hear that they can't study.
Yeah,
that
I
is
no idea.
That
well,
is
you can't study without all kinds of encumbrances, and it's not been properly studied. It's been encumbered so severely so long that it's not really got the science behind it we need to really know the range of possible applications. And there may be many more to come.
I mean, some of them are known, like for cancer patients that are going through chemotherapy, that helps with them.
It helps them with their appetite. And again, if they feel better, even if they just want to get high to feel better. I mean, riddle me this. Why is Vicodin or OxyContin better than cannabis if it helps control your pain or makes you feel better? Why is one better, one okay, and one is not? Oh, I know. OxyContin and Vicodin, that's killing thousands of people every month, so that one must be better.
We need to make more money off weed.
I think that's well underway. In fact, I've been saying I feel like Benjamin Rush, the physician who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, he was warning people. He goes, this crop you're growing in Virginia, this tobacco, I'm not sure this is going to go well. And I feel the same way about the cannabis industry. Like, I'm not sure that's going to turn out okay in the long run.
Why do you think that? Why do you think that?
Because commercializing, it's going to be big cannabis. That's the way you've had big tobacco, and it's going to be marketed to people. I'm not saying the cannabis is bad. I'm saying the process of marketing to people will have them using things excessively where it could hurt them, and they won't care just as long as you're buying it.
You
understand? I mean, it's like tobacco. Same thing.
Right.
Tobacco, nicotine's not bad, but they've taken tobacco it's terrible.
Have you looked into the epileptic medicine
thing, clearly CBD, which is a component of one of the chemicals in marijuana, and it clearly has some utility in certain seizure disorders, so particularly some seizure disorders that are difficult to control. It doesn't mean it's a better anti-seizure medication than other seizure medication, but it needs to take its place amongst the lexicon of seizure medication that we have. And it's slowly doing so. But, if people, again, I've talked to people with children who have these intractable seizure disorders who have great difficulty getting that medication, and they shouldn't.
I'm just fascinated.
It's astonishing that it could help kids, adults, anyone with seizures. Yeah. How is that not readily available?
Well,
to them?
It's becoming so. And California's taken a little more rational approach. We've always had the medicalized marijuana here, so it's a little better that way with us. Now that it's recreational, how this is all going to play out? Oh, I must tell you, I've got a little side. Speaking of pot, for my son, he's working on the film Grow House.
Grow House. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
okay.
And he's flying around a plane that's called Blunt Force.
Stop. No Stop.
But I guarantee you this, if you're high enough, you'll laugh your ass off at this film, number one. And number two, even if you're not, it's a good film. So there's my promo for my son's film.
Your son is making a weed movie. That's awesome.
He's flying in a plane called Blunt Force.
It should say Blunt Force, Dr. Drew's son.
Well, that's all right.
They should paint that on there. We were talking about weed becoming much more accepted, and it has been for a long, long time with younger people.
Yeah.
I mean, are we just waiting for older people to die off so that we can have rational views on pot?
I guess. Again, our drug laws as it pertains to all drugs is bizarre. We make certain drugs good. Alcohol's good. Opiates are good. Cannabis is bad. It's very, very strange. They're all just chemicals that humans relate to that have certain utility and certain risks associated with them. And you know, cannabis is coming up now in the context of pain and even taking people off opiates. I must tell you, again, I'm not saying go smoke pot. I'm not saying...
We're saying that, though.
Yeah, you're saying that.
We are saying
that. And I'm not saying you can't get into trouble with it. I'm saying our thinking about it is moralistic and bizarre, and it is anachronistic, and it's mostly old people thinking about it, and young people are too enthusiastic about it as a compensation for that. You know, it can't... It's not necessary. You know, putting a chemical in your body is not usually good for you, but it may have utility in certain situations. For instance, in pain. Some people, you know, they get into trouble with opiates. I'd much rather have them on pot than opiates. Opiates are the things that are killing people these days. Some people are saying that it could be used to take people off the opiates. I have no objection to that. Again, it needs to be studied, but it's not yet.
I'm really shocked that they're having problems studying it. That's just is crazy
to
me.
Think about all these screwed up laws around it. You know, the federal government is in conflict with the states, and certain states have medicalized, and certain states. It's a big mess. But again, it is being studied, and people are coming to terms with it. And I'm not saying you're cured if you go from OxyContin to cannabis. I'm not what you call a replacement therapy guy. But why is Suboxone better than cannabis? I don't know. Let's study it. Let's see. And I'm not in favor of replacements at all. I'm in favor of abstinence-based treatments. But if certain things can help people along the way, why shouldn't that be used? And same thing with the end-of-life issues. When somebody's towards the end of their life and they have pain or they are having suffering, if there are things that can end or help with that, oh, my God, why shouldn't physicians and anybody have access to those sorts of treatments?
How long have you been saying that?
I've been saying for 20 years that our drug laws are bizarre. Yeah, ever since the Harrison Narcotic Act of the beginning of the 20th century, we've had this very weird relationship, moralistic relationship. And it's funny, as somebody that, you know, works in addiction recovery, I see it completely non-moral in the sense that it's just a biological process. And when certain people, when they get involved with certain chemicals, don't behave morally, they make them behave problematically.
Right.
But that's not because the substance is immoral or the use of the substance is immoral. It's the biological consequences that create the distortions of behavior. And that I worry about. So, Allie, you want to get high?
A little bit.
Allie was already high today. We already.
Well, you got the hot pot beer, I guess. What color is pot beer? Does that look like St. Patrick's
it looks,
Day? Beer?
No, it looks like regular beer, and it tastes like regular beer.
Weird. Yeah, and you guys did that, and you didn't like.
I mean, we didn't drink the whole thing, but we're gonna.
Well, you've had nefarious history with oral.
I don't know that we need
wait,
to bring
I'm
that
sorry.
Up.
Sorry, you what? Stopped at oral.
With ingestible enteric cannabis.
I don't feel like that's ever been on the air, Dr. Drew, and something that was told to you in private.
Okay. Sorry.
You've had a nefarious history with oral.
You see how I just don't care about this stuff? I really just all do whatever to me.
I do, but I would rather not admit that.
Okay.
All right.
It's happening.
You can follow Dr. Drew on Twitter at Dr. Drew. It's also Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, Monday to Friday, noon to 3 at KABC, and all of his podcasts, the Dr. Drew Podcast, the Adam and Drew Show, and the Weekly Infusion, and the app is Heal, where you can have a doctor come to your house. Dr. Drew, we always appreciate your time. Thank
Thanks, you. Thanks, Kevin. Talk to you guys later.
Bye now. 106.7.
Hey!
Wow, that one was rough.
Good job, Ralph.
Thank you, Jim.
The world famous K-Rock.
Go Ducks.
It's 9:36, says the Flyers fan with no one in the playoffs.
No, I'm stoned, but I will still attack you.
Just go try to steer your car, man.
Oh, that hurts.
It's the grown-ups.
My car is being towed right now.
My car steering wheel never worked this morning.
Yeah, it went out. Pretty hard. Back to you.
Pretty hard.
Went out pretty hard.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
So stoned. Everyone here is so stoned, except for me.
Before anyone gets too excited about Bill O'Reilly losing his job at Fox, before anybody starts to celebrate the fact that Fox News did, in fact, remove him from the airwaves yesterday as part of their evaluating the allegations that he sexually harassed at least 5 women that we know of, including one calling one African-American employee hot chocolate to her face and leering at her. Before anybody gets too excited about that news, You might want to read this article from Variety, which spoke to a person familiar with the situation. No, the situation was not involved. What do you think his separation package is going to be from Fox?
I do know that he just re-signed recently, within the last probably 6 months. They're paying out a ton.
He will walk away with an estimated $25 million.
They just write him a check? How does that work? I don't even know how that much money works.
No, it's cash. It's all in ones, Kevin.
Pennies. Rolls of pennies.
I've never seen a check for that much money.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be a payment plan, but still. That's hardly a punishment.
Yeah. Fox should have some serious clauses in their contract.
Right?
It's
like
shocking.
Santa. Santa come along and say, "You've not been a very good boy, Bill. You get charcoal in your stocking."
Did you say charcoal?
Oh, no. I said the magic word. Yeah, that's not much of a punishment, really, for bad behavior, is it?
I would actually.
You get to not work, and we're going to pay you $25 million. Hey, K-Rock.
Right? I'd take the same deal.
Fox News is a very successful company. I think maybe you should borrow a page from their book. I can molest women here if that's what it takes.
Ew.
Not it.
Come here, Allie.
No!
I mean, Chip said not it, so.
Not it.
It was real
so
quick,
was
too.
You, Allie.
Oh, damn it.
Let me harass women, then send me home and pay me out. You know, it doesn't have to be $25 million.
What would you settle for, Ralph?
Eight.
$8 million?
Eight.
Yeah.
Nice. Give me eight.
That's nice of you.
What a trooper.
He's cutting them a break.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to be greedy.
Right.
Craziness. You know, I'm a big fan of Feud over there on FX, Ryan Murphy's new show. It was Bette Davis and Joan Crawford this season. Only one episode to go. I'm going to be so bummed when it's over. The follow-up season, they've already announced. I don't know if you know or not, but it will be Feud, Charles and Diana.
Oh.
And it's going to be Prince Charles and Princess Diana in their tempestuous relationship. Apparently, they barely knew each other when they were married.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did not get along pretty much while they were married.
He seems like he's insufferable.
Why do you say that?
He doesn't seem like a very sharp guy,
but he doesn't seem like a bad dude.
He seems insufferable.
Why? You've said that three times now, but you're not backing it up with anything.
It's just a general impression of everything that has happened because I watch the news so closely.
No, you don't, first of all, watch the news because you're a kid.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Here's the thing. Prince Harry, he could get it, right? Who's with me? That is a hot ginger.
What is wrong with you? Stay on target.
We were talking about Princess Diana. It's her kid.
But we're talking about Prince Charles
and why Kevin thinks
he's insufferable.
Oh.
Anyway, they're already talking about a third season in production of Feud. They've already selected the people.
We're so high season. Right now.
Yeah.
We're not low.
We're not low.
Sorry, Ralph.
However, they won't reveal who it's going to be.
Is that right?
Yeah. Feud, Kevin and Bean, right? A fictionalized story of the feud between Kevin and Bean. That's good television. Let's cast it right now. Owen Wilson is Kevin.
Oh, absolutely he's Kevin. Yes.
Wow. I'm really high right now.
How dare you?
Minute Bowl is Bean.
I mean, that's good. I was going to go down on the Munsters, but I'm not sure if he's alive.
Dead. Fred Gwynn is dead.
Then that would not work.
Yeah.
Minute Bowl, though.
Right?
Right.
Nailed it.
Big old gangly balloon man just floating around like that with arms and legs flailing in every direction.
He looks like a drunk balloon man, though.
Yeah.
Adam Devine for you, for sure.
Yep, sure.
Nice.
And for you, Allie?
Obviously, Angela Kinsey.
Oh, yeah, from The Office, right? They're practically the same person.
That's true.
Chip, we get Vern Troyer.
I think you're going a little too high there.
Because he's little.
Vern Troyer in a wig. I'm going to sell that idea to FX. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. George Takei is 80 years old today. Oh, my. I love George.
He's 80.
Yeah, he's a great 80. He's
outstanding 80. I would guess 60.
Yeah.
I think Bill Shatner's got to be almost 80.
That's crazy.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
So they're all those Star Trek guys are up there. We're having Bill on next week? Shatner? He's coming in soon, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it's next week, yeah.
Next week, yeah.
William Shatner is 86.
Well, there you go. That's a great 86, too. He is
right.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Jessica Lange is 68 years old today. She's in Feud. We were just talking about that. Andy Serkis is 53, as is Crispin Glover. Shamar Moore is 47 years old. Carmen Electra's 45. Joey Lawrence is 41.
Whoa.
And Miranda Kerr celebrates her 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I am not high.
Hey, on your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness in the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning is Friday, so we've got the movie beat and a reminder that Monday at 7:15, we've got all the details for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. I almost got that out. It was very close.
K-Rock.
Take two. Monday morning at 7:15, we've got all the details on the K-Rock Almost.
What are you, high?
Almost Weenie Roast.
Do it again. Take three.
K-Rock Almost Weenie Roast. Is that where you were going with that?
Holy crap.
You're a magician.
Monday morning at 7:15, we've got all the details on the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta.
Clearly, he's high.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
When, though?
Monday at 7:15. Okay. You thought I'd forget?
Or no, just you say it said wrong? It.
Oh, I already said it. Okay.
What?